Let's pray. So Jesus, as we go through these lists of people that we want to reach out and support and help and love and care for, and as we think about Sig and Ruth and Peter and Leanne who are ministering to this people that they've fallen in love with over these last number of years, we are reminded, Lord, of just the great amount of pain and suffering that's in the world and the very real hurt, Lord. And we just pray, Jesus, for comfort for all of these names that we've spoken about today and even names that we haven't spoken about. We pray comfort, comfort, Lord. And we ask, God, that you could use us as a part of that comforting, Lord, that we could be servants of people, Lord, that are in need. And in this, Jesus, reflect you and your great love for the world. So we pray, Lord, that these simple gestures that we're going to offer in these next number of months, and even the simple gesture of walking around a wall in a couple of weeks, Lord, we pray that these things would be more than just food and more than just a walk, Lord, but that they would be testimonies of love for people that our church has, and a testimony of love that you have for the world, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that you would multiply these things, God, multiply these little gifts and take what is a meal and turn it into this really lovely, beautiful, full gift for people that might feel isolated and hurting and alone. Multiply these loaves and fishes, Lord, we ask. And as we think then about our church and the next season ahead of us, Lord, we welcome your Holy Spirit to guide our discussion here. Be with us, Lord, as we think about these things and talk about these things this afternoon. And we pray, Lord, that all of this journey of a church that we're on would continue to be about you and about seeing you and about following you as you lead us into our world. And we pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. So, yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about vision stuff today and where we're going in these next number of months, or where we as a council have a sense of where we're going to go. And I want to start this little presentation by giving you a bit of background as to where all this stuff came from our council. So back in early spring, maybe late winter, the council and our regular monthly meetings, we had been watching this series of videos on board leadership and board life presented by this man, Bob Rose. Do you remember Bob Rose? He came and helped us with our organization stuff as a church. He died earlier on this last year, at the end of last year. Really beautiful, lovely man. We really respected Bob. And watching these videos were really great. Well, on this one video, he gave this leadership illustration, which probably many of you have seen before. It's applicable to boards and church boards. It's applicable to our lives, actually, I think. But in case you haven't, I brought the materials to demonstrate it here so you could see hands-on what he was talking about. So I want you to imagine that this is our year as a church, that this thing contains all of our years and that these are all of our year, and that these big rocks are kind of the big rock goals that we would have as a church, the big priorities that we might go after. And that these things here in here, all of this sand, represents kind of the minutiae of detail, all the little things, the tyranny of the urgent that we could get caught up and that we can focus on, all things that are important, but things that just kind of, the little details that carry on. Well, Bob in the illustration showed, and I think it's actually initially from Stephen Covey, but he said, you know, the thing about it is that if you put into your year and you start off by focusing on all the little details, all the things that you feel you have to get done or that you just is there in front of you, he said, what happens is that then the big priorities that you have as an organization, well, then you discover they can't really fit. There's no room for them, right? But if you shift this around and instead, you know, you take all of your details and you start off by thinking about what are those big priorities, you know, and you start off thinking about these guys, then pretty soon, then you add in all the little details, and what do you discover when you add in all the details? Well, if you don't spill it out, right? And you shift it down, and you shift it down, right? You with me here? You see where this is going? How many of you have seen this before? Is that a yes? You've all seen it? YouTube? Mitch, oh. Okay, I quit. It's over. This is over. This is done.
It's still kind of awesome. I think
I was going to do it with the kids, you know, but I thought, eh, like.
Maybe try this at home.
Exactly. Anyways, there it is, right? It's all in there. We made it. We did it all. So the question we started to think about then as a board, we started to pray and discern, and really, like, the praying and discernment went right up until this last meeting, basically, this last month that we had. But we started to seek Jesus and say, you know, this seems like good wisdom for us. What are the things that Jesus wants us to focus on in this year coming forward? What little things, could we move towards, just take baby steps as a church? And as we thought about this, we came up with, but we felt like the Lord was pointing us to three things that we thought were going to be important for us to focus our attention on in the year ahead. One is an internal thing, pertaining to what is it that Jesus wants to do in us as a church? What does he want to bless us with, gift us with as people in the year ahead? And then the other two pertaining to external things. Where is it that Jesus might be leading us in the year ahead to lean into, to give a little bit more energy or attention to and focus on? And so it's these three things that I want to talk to you about today. And we'll start with the internal one. What is it that Jesus wants to do in us? We'll bring up this little side. What does Jesus want to do in us? Well, internally, when we prayed and we're thinking about our church and sensing what Jesus was speaking to us about our church, one of the things we felt was that in this season, if there's one thing that maybe Jesus wants to do in us, it's to give us a season of refreshing. That, you know, a number of us have gone through a pretty intensive season. We've gone through child rearing or are just starting into that journey or are just starting again into that journey. A number of you have started new careers. You've been intensive schooling. Others of you have started businesses in these last 7 years. It's been an intense period. And then when you think about our church, 7 years, that's interesting. This weekend is the 7-year anniversary of Simple Churches. Right? 7 years, right? Yes. So when you think about it, you know, 7 years, but the past 7 years, there's been like, it's been wonderful, but it's been challenging trying to figure out this and trying to learn and pioneer this new church. And there's been moments of excitement and there's been moments of challenge and discouragement, all these other things, right? So we felt like, Jesus, maybe in this season, what you're wanting to do for this year ahead is to give us a time of refreshing. And so the question we asked is, well, how can this be accomplished? How is it that we could go about welcoming the refreshing of Jesus that he wants to bring to us in the year ahead? And we thought about this. You know, when people are looking to be renewed spiritually, what do? Any idea what they do? They go on a retreat, yeah? Okay, good. What else? Pray, yeah, they pray. Carlene, have you been involved in these discussions? You're just putting it out there. Wow. Yes, they go to see a spiritual director oftentimes. Well done, Carlene. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. No, they do. And actually, spiritual directors are these kinds of people that are kind of like the real pastor kind of people. And what they do is this very thing, like Kristen said, they help people organizing retreats for them. They help them to hear the voice of Jesus again. They help them to, they give counsel, they give spiritual wisdom, all of these different kinds of things. And so the idea that we had was, well, what if we were to approach a spiritual director for our church? And ask a spiritual director to come and do with us as a community what he or she might do with an individual for the course of the year. Come and guide us and lead us. And so that was the idea that we had. And so we approached this man. Maybe some of you may know him. His name is Rob DeCotes. How many of you have heard of Rob DeCotes before? Do you know Rob DeCotes? Yeah, any of you others know? Rob, you know him back there? Rob is a pastor of a church called Imago Dei, which meets in South Surrey. It's something similar to what we're doing here, actually. He's a former pastor at Cap Christian Community Church, and he's a spiritual director. And every person that I know of that's ever encountered Rob DeCotes is like, this guy is a fantastic person. And so we called up Rob, and we explained the idea that we were thinking about, and he was like, this is a great idea. This is wonderful. It's a great idea, and I would love to come and be a spiritual director for your church for the year. And so this is what we've asked Rob to do, to come and be a spiritual director for the year ahead. Rob's first time with us is going to be at our annual fall retreat at the end of November. The reason why we had to change the date and move it back a week was because that worked out with Rob's calendar. So Rob's going to come and lead that week, and it's going to be not about me teaching preaching or something, but it's going to be about him facilitating a weekend, kind of the first taste of hearing and encountering again, being refreshed by the voice of Jesus. And then for the 2014 calendar, he's going to lead at least 3 day retreats. Day retreats, not overnight things. They're just going to be days, so you can go away. One of them is going to be the sexes together, and the other one we're going to separate the sexes, just a male retreat and just a female retreat. And Rob's going to lead us on these days away as a chance to encounter the voice of Jesus. And in between that, I'm sure that there'll be other things and other ideas that he will have, which will help guide our year ahead. But that's the first thing. Rob DeCotes and the internal and this year of refreshing. I'm really excited about it. I think it's going to be great. And my little bit of time that I've had with Rob has already been really encouraging. So that's the first one. Now, do you want me to just go through all of these things and then come back and we can have questions, or do you want to talk and stop and have some questions while we come across each rock? What do you think? I don't want to get bogged down with the questions, so I want to have time to keep going. Okay. So that's the first one, internal rock. Let's talk about the second, the external rock. And this involved a little bit more thinking. There was lots of different ideas that we had around things that we could be pressing into. But the longer we looked at it, and the longer we discerned and prayed along with Jesus, we had a sense that there was a couple of guiding ideas, the guiding hints that he was giving to us to help frame our thinking. And the guiding hints were these. First of all, what has Jesus already been speaking to us about over these past couple of years? And I'm thinking specifically through the Gospel of Mark. What has Jesus already been teaching us and speaking to us about as a community of people? And secondly, then, where has he already been leading us? You know, because it's one thing, we could think up a whole new, brand new idea, but we might also be wiser to say, but where has Jesus already been leading us? Where has he already been working in our community? And these are some things then that we just need to lean into, that we need to give a little bit more energy into. So first of all, what's Jesus been speaking to us about? I blogged a little bit about this for this month's newsletter, for those of you that maybe read it. But when I was reviewing our teaching over these past 2 years through Mark's gospel, there have been 2 very dominant themes. The nice thing is that there's a month in between each of my teachings, right? Because when I reviewed them all compressed, it seemed like there was a bit of a broken record going on here. Like Jesus was speaking to us a similar thing about. Yes, we do sometimes, don't we? One thing that has come up over and over and over in Mark's presentation of Jesus is that Jesus is continually siding with people. That he loves people, and he's always taking the side of people, specifically over against religious institutions and religious rules. The Pharisee guys, they were hung up on the Sabbath. They were hung up on this rule. Every single time, Jesus is like, I am going to value the person over the rule. And he knew what the rules were. So the first thing, he's always with people. Secondly, though, we've also seen that he has a special place for the vulnerable. And he's always siding with the vulnerable. And he loathes it. I mean, he gets furiously angry. The only real times where we see Jesus getting angry is when religious people are rebuking the vulnerable or in some way holding the vulnerable up back from him. And in fact, actually, the most recent chapter we went through, Mark 10, we saw a couple of different vulnerable groups. We saw the children. We saw this blind man, Bartimaeus, on the side of the road. Both cases, Jesus is upset that people are rebuking these vulnerable people. But in the midst of this, maybe you remember Jesus saying this. He talks about how you've seen how the rulers and the authorities of your day function. And then he goes on to say, but not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be the first must be the slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Whoever of you wants to become great must be a servant. Guys, this is a key, right? Jesus is giving us the key of what it means to be great as people and what it means to be great as a church. I was teaching on this at another church a couple of weeks ago, and one of the things that just kind of rumbled out in this prophetic moment was just at the end of the day, Jesus is never going to judge a church as a great church based upon the wonder of its light show or the amazingness of its worship team, and we've got a great worship team. But he's never going to look at us and say, you were great because you guys played your music better than the other church down the street. But he is going to look great and say, what makes you great is when you learn how to be a servant of people and the vulnerable. This is how Jesus defines a people that are great. He's telling us, it couldn't be any clearer. This is what makes you great. And none of this is really new to us. You know, when we started, one of the first values that Jesus spoke to us about 7 years ago was that I want you to be a people that are on mission, and I want you to be a people that are on mission specifically toward the marginalized, right? It's not new. So that's the first thing, what Jesus was speaking about. Secondly, then, with that in mind, we began to think, well, where is it that Jesus maybe has already been leading us, right? Where has he already been moving at us and working in us? And when we thought about this, there was a couple of places, two groups that really naturally emerged. People that Jesus has already been leading us to, and people, I think, that Jesus would look at and say, and these are vulnerable people in your city that you need to pay special attention to as a church. So the two people make up the two rocks. So let's talk about the first one. Where is the first rock that Jesus has already been leading us to? Well, the first rock is the Chesterfield House in North Vancouver, right? Yeah. So a year and a half ago, that's right, Kara's Hurt House. A year and a half ago, is that right? About a year and a half ago? Yeah, God led Kara and Marianne and Taryn. There's Taryn, she's still here. God led Marianne and Taryn to start a church. And I'm convinced that it was God, Jesus, that led them to start this church. Because when I think about Jesus, if there's any place where Jesus is saying, of course there should be a church here, it's at the Chesterfield House. This is the place that Jesus is going to go and spend his time. Chesterfield House, for those of you that don't know, is an apartment block filled with apartments that are subsidized. A number of the apartments are subsidized. Not all of them, though, right? They're subsidized. Okay, yeah, by the Canadian Mental Health Society, correct? That's where the subsidies come from? Is that correct? Am I with them? Right. Okay, that supply it. And in order to qualify for the subsidies, the person needs to be on some type of disability. Am I correct on that too? Yeah, is that correct?
Yeah, like most of them go to the community mental health
center. Right.
Just that way.
Somewhere out there. Yes, yes. And thus far, this church has done really well. They have a number of people that are kind of on the periphery that come and participate. And then there's this growing, beautiful little core of people that are regularly there and participating in the church. And when we prayed about where Jesus was leading us, this was just kind of like one of those, of course. Right? Of course he's leading us here. Of course he's asking us, of course we should be here. So what will this look like? Well, this is kind of where the dreaming in a little way ends. We wanted to shape a big picture of this, but we didn't want to come to you because it just didn't seem very simple churchy. But we wanted to come to you with a big idea and then from there allow people to come in and join in the process of shaping what the next part of that looks like. What will it mean for people to minister and be engaged as a church in Chesterfield? That we've yet to determine entirely. Although, that said, we've done a little bit of legwork, and there are a few things, one of them in particular that we've already started with. But the first thing that we're going to do is we're going to form a little task team. And the task team is going to work with Marianne and Taryn and Kara to help begin to dream about what the next little baby steps are that this church can be involved with, our church can be involved with in supporting the Chesterfield work. Okay, so I'm going to send this around as well in a moment. And if there's something that's tugging on your heart about Chesterfield and you think, boy, Jesus is wanting to be a part of that discussion, then you can put your name down on this and we'll carry it from there. Okay, so there's a little task team. That's the first thing that we're going to do. The second thing, though, that we have taken some steps toward is that we are going to, as a church, partner with Kara. And here's what partnering with Kara means. Kara, you all know, I had her sing today because I knew that we would be talking about her. But Kara is a remarkable woman. And God has done really remarkable things in Kara's life over the past couple of years. Much healing. There's more to come even. And Kara knows that. But Kara is, you know, just being shaped by Jesus. And one of the things that Jesus is doing in Kara's life is he's equipping her with peer counseling skills, right? She's worked toward peer counseling training and these things. And we said to Kara, actually, one of the council members, in fact, if I can point him out, I believe it was Netto, our very own Netto, that suggested this. The idea being, well, what if we partner with Kara and we gave her a small stipend to work 5 hours a week, every week, and all she was going to do then in her building was she was going to, I guess, in some ways represent us, but she was just going to use her gifts and use her skills to minister to the people in her building. And the 5 hours a week is basically just a way that we as simple churches can come around Kara and say, yes, we agree and we want to be with you. And so we approached Kara about this idea. She loved it, but then Kara suggested that this was a great idea. She said, rather than just giving her a little bit of money to do this, what if we set up a scholarship where the money could be put into a scholarship to help fund a trip to ICC in China, which is something that she's really wanted to do for the last number of months. So hopefully, after her little bit of work, 10 months from now, Kara will have enough money to pay for a couple of week trip, a volunteer work service trip at ICC, which is like a double win for all of us, right? On the one, we get to release Kara, and on the other hand, we get to release Kara to China, right? This is just fantastic. So this is like a God beautiful thing, if you ask me. And I'm excited about that. And then we asked the Chesterfield Church to brainstorm about other ideas that, you know, they had, and they came back with a bunch of different ideas, maybe supporting them with meals once a month for their gathering, other different ideas. I think those ideas that they brainstormed will kind of dovetail well with that task team, and together we'll come up with just some baby steps that we can make. We're not looking, we don't have any romantic ideas that we're going to turn Chesterfield upside down in a year. All we're looking for is just some baby steps toward this really beautiful big idea. Okay? So that's the first external stone. The first external stone is Chesterfield House. Second external stone is the children. If there is one thing that Jesus has clearly been doing in our midst in the past 7 years, it is children. Right? He's been giving us lots of children, a lot of children. When we started, we had Francis. We were working this out the other day. We think we had Francis, Sam was just born, and Chinita.
And Evan.
Right, and Evan was in the mix too. And now we have all of these children, and more are coming. Right? More children are coming. I'm looking around at the little chaos that is our worship time beforehand, and thinking to myself, like, well, of course we should be giving our time to these children. Look at what Jesus, and what a great place to raise children in Jesus, right? What a great place to do that. So, and when you look at Scripture, children throughout Scripture are seen as the vulnerable. They need to be protected. Jesus is ensuring that they need to be protected. And so this fits right in with all that Jesus is up to. And because of this, because of the obvious growth, then we're feeling like, well, we need to be leaning into the children. So the question here then, well, what do we do with this? Well, once again, you know, like with Chesterfield House, we don't have all the details worked out. We want to invite you. We have another task team that we're going to start up with that. Those of you that want to be about the shaping of some of the ideas around children and what it will look like for the year ahead, for us to lean into that, we want you to be a part of that discussion. So that's the first thing we want to say about that. But that said, there are also two ideas that we do want to present today to you that we think are important, think that things that Jesus is leading us to do. One of them, we've already gone so much as to say a yes to this, believing that you'll agree with it is a good thing too. And the other one is just like, this seems like a good idea, and we'll see what emerges of this over the year ahead. So the first one, which we've gone ahead with, has to do with Citywide, okay? So the challenge, it seems, one of the challenges that we've had at Citywide is that when you only meet 10 times a year, it's difficult then when adults or parents at a time, four of them, have to be out caring for the children in that time, as opposed to, you know, I know a lot of you want to be in here and you want to, you know, sit under my fantastic teaching week in and week out or something to that effect, right? I know probably more it's just you'd rather not be in that room. But whatever your reasoning, That was a joke, moving right along. Whatever your reasoning is, you know, we felt like, this is difficult. It's a little bit of a difficult thing. And the further challenge of it is that for the kids, because there's a different leaders each time, there's really no continuity for them, right? They're lacking in continuity. So what do we do about that? Well, looking into that, we thought, well, what if we were to bring in an intern for the year? Someone that could help facilitate children's ministry, someone just for that citywide, a small little role, you know, 10 hours a month kind of a thing, that gives someone that maybe is interested in children's ministry, it gives them an opportunity to get their toes wet. And in some ways, really, they're leading like what would be a full-on traditional church ministry, except they're only having to do it once a month, right? So they've got lots of time on there. So we thought about this idea, what if we could bring it? And I contacted around a few different churches. Do you have any interns that you would want to lend to us for one Sunday a month? No, we don't have any interns this year. And then I called Linda Ray, beautiful Linda Ray at North Shore Alliance Church, who's the children's worker up there, children's pastor up there. Asked Linda. Linda says, you know, I have this girl. She's really, really great. And she's been always saying, I want to intern with you. She's got her ECE ticket, to just finished it. But, you know, I just don't have the capacity or the budget to do this with her. And I said, send her to me. So we talked with this girl. And actually, nothing is entirely firmed up. But Leah, who's one of the girls up there today, is the girl that we've been talking with. And she's fantastic. And she's really excited about it. So that could all fall through tomorrow, but I think there's a good chance that it won't, okay? So Leah is most likely going to be our children intern for the year ahead. And what Leah is going to do, part of her role description, is she's going to recruit other workers or volunteers, three other workers or volunteers each month to help work alongside of her, which is basically going to free up all of the parents and all of the adults to come and be a part of Citywide for the whole time each month. Good idea? You're with it? Yeah. Okay. Well, the other then idea that we're thinking about, and maybe part of the reason why we're wanting to free up our parents and adults from Citywide is because part of the reason is we want to maybe give you an opportunity to be a part of your volunteer hour in something else, another thing that's coming along. And the thing that we're wondering about is maybe it's time for us to give birth to a little children's club, maybe a monthly thing to start off with, not a weekly thing, that's too much for us, but maybe a monthly thing that we can start off with. But there's a twist to this monthly kids club that we're thinking about. And the twist is that while we are thinking that this should be for our own children, we're also asking, or sensing that Jesus is asking us to dream about children that are outside, maybe some children that are at risk, children that are vulnerable, that we could welcome in to our gathering as well and have it be something for our own kids, but also for these kids that maybe are in a place of need in life. Okay. So I'll give you an idea. One idea that we were thinking about along with this, and I've even shared this with a couple of you, but really there's nothing material here at all, just an idea. But we wondered to ourselves, well, what about children with special needs? What if we had an opportunity where we did this children's ministry for our kids, but we found through the channels in our city ways of inviting maybe children with special needs into our midst to join with our own kids, to learn together? And why would we do this? Well, there's a couple of reasons why we would do this. One is because we really feel like Jesus is saying that whatever we're doing here shouldn't just be about our own children. That's great to bless our children, but it should also be about us welcoming the vulnerable children into the care. But also, the other part of this, the second reason why we think this is important, is because we want our children, right from a very young age, to learn about the kingdom of God. And that church isn't just about them being entertained with great candy and great music. That's great and lovely, but there's more to it. There's also something where they need to learn about people that are in need, even from a young age, and how they don't need to be afraid, but they can join in with children at that stage. They're just ideas, but that's what we're thinking about right now. None of this, as I say, is concrete. And hopefully this task team can help take our church to the next level of thinking on this and what will emerge with these things. But those are just some ideas that we wanted to give to you. So those are our three stones. Internally, spiritual direction, right? Externally, Chesterfield House, and externally the children, and children maybe that are in vulnerable places in life. And we really know that this is just a baby step thing. We, like I said earlier on, we have no grand illusions. We're a small church with limited resources, and yet we've always been this small church that sought to kind of fight above our weight, you know, to try and reach out. And I love that about us, and I think that Jesus is calling us into that. And how everything is going to look a year from now, we'll see. We'll see what emerges of this. But I think this is at least some good direction for us to go on. And as for now, I'm excited. I'm really excited about this. I think this is good stuff for us to be moving in. And I hope that you are as well.